the only thing that the world is missing is you. So nothing else, but the world has it all. And if we were to work on the you project, the world would be better. Because we all want to be good human beings. But it's just that we don't really have reminders or rituals that tell us about the importance of working on the self as a way of contributing towards universal consciousness.
This is KSQD Santa Cruz, K-Squid, broadcasting across the Monterey Bay at 90.7, 89.7, and 89.5 FM, and online at ksqd.org. This is John Malkin, and you're listening to Transformation Highway. Today you'll hear an interview with Nduduzo Makatini, South African pianist, improviser, healer, and musicologist at the University of KwaZulu-Natal School of the Arts. He's currently writing a book called An Ongoing Rehearsal. The new album from Nduduzo Makatini on Blue Note Records is titled The Myth We Choose and was released on June 26, 2026. This beautiful jazz album was produced by Tingo, Makatini's 18-year-old son, and includes guest musicians like his spouse and longtime collaborator, Oma Gugu, and DJ producer, Black Coffee. This music is grounded in Zulu cosmology and indigenous African technologies, exploring the interconnectedness between all things, as well as themes like forgiveness, the end of the world, healing, and the ways that stories or myths create cultures. Nduduzo Makatini is returning with his jazz trio to Kumbwa Jazz Center in downtown Santa Cruz on Thursday, September 10th, 2026. Here now is Nduduzo Makatini.
Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am very good.
Doing well.
Very nice to meet you.
Likewise, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm really happy for it.
It's really an honor for me to have this chance to speak with you. Thank you. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Oh man, the honor is mine. Truly. Thank you.
I've really loved listening to the new album. Every song is quite different, and I enjoyed every journey on the album.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for taking the time and traveling all those places.
Hey, would you start by telling people who might not be familiar with your musical journey, how you came into music and your history of studying and playing music and how you came into jazz in particular.
Right. So my name is, of course, Nduduzo Makatini, and I am an improviser. I'm also a scholar and pianist, among many other things. And I come to realizing that I'm a musician or even an artist from a very young age. I was really inspired by the musicality of the village, as it were. I come from a very small town in South Africa, located in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. That's along the Indian Ocean. And this village I came from is called the Magongo, which is which is kind of rural in a sense. So what this means in a South African context, or at least in the 80s, was that there was less television, less radio, or just like, human-made technologies, and more of natural technologies. So which really meant people had to pay attention to cosmic happenings. So in this sense, there were repertoires specific to particular moments of the calendar, which would mean honoring particular seasons, honoring particular rites of passage, honoring various moments of human development. And so I come to know sound very much underpinned by context, and that context leaning heavily on cosmic or cosmological things. So, in this sense, the inspiration was not drawn only from my family, which is, of course, musical. My mom played the piano and my dad played the guitar. But it was even the village that was musical. Musical in many ways, musical in terms of songs that were part of the lineage, and people would sing songs that are maybe, 100 years old, and they will tell stories. So song in this sense as a kind of archive, but also just the musicality in terms of how people harmonized with everything, less pollution, whether it's noise or all kinds of pollution, very respectful to nature. And so the musicality doesn't start with the sound, but it started with how to harmonize with the cosmos and environment. And so that's my earlier kind of musicality, as it were. And then, of course, at the age of like 17, 18, I went to study jazz. And of course, I was yearning for these convergences between culture and identity, sound, history. And needless to say, that curriculum didn't put any emphasis on this. And there started my frustration. I was like, oh, 17 years of just knowing that sound is underpinned by particular context. And here I come to a place where music is studied, quote unquote, formally. And this connection is not explicit, not at least the way that I would hope it would be. And of course, in those moments, thinking, well, did I make the right move? Maybe I should leave here. Then I encountered the music of John Coltrane. And of course, I was like, okay, so if this is jazz and here they offer jazz studies, then I wanna pursue it until I find how John Coltrane figured out how to play jazz that tells stories and that has a dance. So these two things, dance and stories, were central to me. And of course, post that moment, I did my postgraduate studies, which were in exile, sound and exile, jazz and exile, identities. And then I did my PhD in music and cosmology with a specific focus on Bantu cosmologies and how that is entangled in the practice of jazz. So that's basically my journey. And currently, I'm, of course, a touring artist and a researcher. And I work for the University of KwaZulu-Natal as a musicologist.
Xola moya konke wo kusihaqele kune sikhathi lapho konke kuzodlula Xola Xola moya konke wo kusihaqele Kune sikhathi lapho konke kuzodlula Njengo kwadule lona o lomile kodwa
This is John Malkin, and you're listening to Transformation Highway on KSQD Santa Cruz, K-Squid, broadcasting across the Monterey Bay at 90.7, 89.7, and 89.5 FM, and online at ksqd.org. You're listening to an interview with Nduduzo Makatini. His new album on Blue Note Records is titled The Myth We Choose, and was released on June 26, 2026. Nduduzo Makatini is returning with his jazz trio to Kumbwa Jazz Center in downtown Santa Cruz on Thursday, September 10, 2026. Here again is Nduduzo Makatini.
I love music. I play piano and percussion and drums ever since I was little. And I've always been interested in spirituality also, and in the world that's around us where there is a lot of suffering, there's poverty. And I thought that maybe, hopefully, there would be less and less war during my lifetime. And I just turned 63 years old, and it seems like there's more and more. So all of these elements, creativity and affecting the world and bringing peace into our lives and into the lives of others. All of these things have been important to me also. I'm curious about the title of the album and your ideas about myth. And in the United
Right.
States, I was thinking about it. Here in the United States, often people use the word myth to mean not true, a story that's
Right.
not true.
Right.
But I
Right.
don't think that's what you're talking about. Your album is called The Myth We Choose. And I know that, you know, in your bio and in the notes and in your life, your music is not really about entertaining people. And
Right.
the songs are, there's a quote in your bio that says, songs are vital to a culture's myth making. So just tell me
Right.
a little about myth and the importance of music in creating myth.
Right. So, I mean, I would agree with you that there has been a kind of leaning towards myth or the meaning of myth as something very abstract, speculative, not real, you know, even in South Africa. And but this is the challenge of modernity. This is what happens when generations have moved so far away from the truth that the truth starts to not be the truth. And this is precisely what has happened with myth. And if you look at all indigenous societies that have stayed in touch with primordial knowledge systems or indigenous knowledge systems, myth would mean something different from them or for them. So the challenge is time, and how time, and particularly modernity, is also pregnant with erasure projects. So modernity is not only about, you know, quote unquote, making the world better and easy to be in the world, but it's also about erasing very reliable systems that humankind once used. And the dismissal is that they are primitive, they are, you know, not real, and all of these things. And this is precisely why I'm readdressing the issue of myth. So myth is, in essence, a kind of text. It is a speech. It is a meaning that societies over time choose to create mantras or choose to revise that history, whether through song or whether through folklore or even through poetry or proverbs. So these myths are parts of history that societies choose by way of repeating. So pretty much like music, and how over time, when you hear this music, it starts to become a mantra, it starts to become meditative, and then it becomes a way of being. So this is what myths are. And in these current moments, of course, everything that's happening, like you're saying, it's total catastrophe. There are wars all around us. What we are not realizing is that that is a design. Those are the myths that our great-grandkids will speak about as a kind of myth of our time. So the album is then really a kind of intervention to say, what is the myth that we would like to create or co-create, and how that creation is a kind of choosing. So this is so we are more intentional about our choices, and we are more intentional about how we want our great, great, grand, grandkids to remember us. So in this sense, then myth is more an intentional project where we are choosing how we want to be remembered. And songs, of course, play a big role.
Thank you.
This is John Malkin, and you're listening to Transformation Highway on KSQD Santa Cruz, K-Squid, broadcasting across the Monterey Bay at 90.7, 89.7, and 89.5 FM, and online at ksqd.org. You're listening to an interview with Nduduzo Makatini. His new album on Blue Note Records is titled The Myth We Choose, and was released on June 26, 2026. Nduduzo Makatini is returning with his jazz trio to Kumbwa Jazz Center in downtown Santa Cruz on Thursday, September 10th, 2026. Here again is Nduduzo Makatini.
I love how you describe this consciousness about myth making as an intervention. Sometimes it seems like people think what is happening now is somehow organic or...
That's the thing. It's totally not. It's totally not. It needs us to do something about it, to change it.
Yes, I agree. And if we are living inside of this violent myth, we are helping to perpetuate it and
right,
create it. And we need to do something different. I don't know if you want to say more about that. There's,
just based on what you're saying, like, you know, Wayne Shorter puts it in the most beautiful way. And I think I like going back to him. So two things that he says in different contexts that I love and that I remember. One is he say, play that which you hope for. So for me, that's huge. It's like, if every note was kind of a commitment to something I hope for, then I'll be really intentional about what I play and how it impacts on manifestation of the things that come around me. And the other thing that he says, what is it that one can give to the world when the world already has it all? Or something like that, and I'm paraphrasing. Like, you know, when the earth is such beauty and completeness, what is it that we can do? And he responds to himself by saying, the attempt to be original. And man, that really spoke to me in a sense that, like, the only thing that the world is missing is you. So nothing else, but the world has it all. And if we were to work on the you project, the world would be better, because we all want to be good human beings. But it's just that we don't really have reminders or rituals that tell us about the importance of working on the self as a way of contributing towards universal consciousness. I mean, in Eastern mysticism, they speak a lot about self-realization, you know, and all of these things, living, you know, a kind of holy life or living a sacred life. This is the project, man. This is when we become original and we bring ourselves to service humanity, you know.
Beautiful, thank you. I feel very much the same. And I often think of Mohandas Gandhi regarding changing in the world. And he would talk about the need to obstruct injustice, but also the need to construct the type of society or myth or culture that we want to have. We need to be doing both things. I love what you said about it's true. The world really is not missing anything. It's
Right.
It's pretty amazing that this food grows out of the ground that tastes like candy, like fruit, and
Right.
that helps us survive, and it is beautiful. I think about John Cage, the composer also, who was
Right.
more feeling like if you try to change the world, you're just going to make it worse. And that's so heavy in a
Right.
way, but I think maybe he's pointing kind of to what you're saying. There's no need.
It's similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, we're born into abundance, you know. That's why all of these things are particularly how people look at Africa as a place of lack and poverty. Of course, this is not true. I mean, all the things that grow out of Africa, all the things that come out of the minds of Africa, of Africans, I mean, there's just so much. And the thing is, what creates a lack in Africa is the deficit. It's all the things that have been taken away from the place. So when, like, people speak about how can we help Africa, I always say just bring everything back that belongs to Africa that was stolen. Because because it would sound really tricky if we say we need something, but it'll be nice to have everything that was taken from Africa back, because it is meant to be there. Humans have done so much destruction. The universe balances itself by way of producing food, by producing all the minerals and everything that comes from the soil. But humans have taken things and moved them to different parts and stolen things, and so that creates a problem. So I think the cosmos or the environment is yearning equality, in a sense of, like, that which grows in this land should remain in this land because there is a plan for it. It speaks to the populations, it speaks to everything that's in the land. So that's why the question of land even is quite a poignant one, because there are so many layers of what land is about. It's not only just the ownership of land, but it's also just the symbolism of why particular places exist. Some of them hold sacred knowledges and histories, and so if you come and steal that land like that, not only have you stolen land, but you've stolen all the energy and potency that lives in it. So this is like, it's all things that humans have done, it's all the things that humans have done. So that's why this project as well is underpinned by three pillars, which are important. I think about it as underpinned by forgiveness and the attempt to forgive the unforgivable, very central to this work. The second one is what I've just been talking about now, the primordial systems and how do we return? And if we're to be given a chance to be reborn, what would we change about ourselves? So the music is asking that question and giving an opportunity for us to contemplate at least five things that will change about ourselves. And then the last movement, or the last pillar, deals with the notion of the end of the world. And like you were saying, there's so much wars, too much catastrophe. So if the signifiers of the end would be destructions of buildings, collapse of systems, then we're there. So the world has ended. But in this work, I'm trying to think that the end of the world is precisely when humans stop sensing and feeling. That is really the end of the world. When all of these things happen and we don't do anything, we don't say anything about it, we normalize catastrophe, So for me, that would be the real end of the world. And so, in a nutshell, the album is dancing with all of these questions. It problematizes, it critiques, it questions, it theorizes, but also it gives a kind of elsewhere. It allows us to be transported to another place where other kinds of possibilities could be accessed.
Hey, thanks for outlining those three major elements you're exploring in the album. And you
Right.
mentioned forgiveness, and the opening song I know is about forgiveness. And I read in another interview that you were thinking about your father regarding forgiveness. And I know on the album, there's other realms of forgiveness that you are considering as well.
Of course.
And the album also includes other family. It seems like family is very important on this album. Your 18-year-old son helped produce the album, which is wonderful. And your spouse sings on the album. Tell me about your family. And if you want to speak more about forgiveness, there is also, I think in the liner notes, some discussion of how the reconciliation process in South Africa really was not successful.
Yeah, that's the other part of forgiveness. So, you know, I'm thinking about personal forms of forgiveness, but I'm thinking about also societal ones, you know, like, you know, so there, the project of forgiveness is really a challenge. But with regards to family, so everything that I've spoken about would have to start with family. The village would have to start with family, and society would have. So if we kind of like bring this consciousness in our families and figure out ways of listening to each other. Because for me, having my son produce my album was more about how do we listen to our kids? You know, how, you know, like, what are these ways of listening? And what are some of the concrete or tangible results of listening we can document? So this is me saying to my son, when you were 18, I listened to you. When you were 18, I allowed you to show me your worlds, show me what is in your mind. And so I'm interested in that. And this is what I missed out on. You know, I don't think my father had an interest in hearing what was in my mind and in my heart, you know. So it's kind of, you know, like, I'm not sad about it, but I have to do something about changing it for my generation. And of course, my wife is, you know, the leader of our family, you know, and she's of course, you know, one of the greatest singers I've ever come across. In fact, we have graduated from me being her biggest fan to playing in her band, to having coffees together, and to eventually starting this whole tribe together and co-creating this myth together. So, you know, so the family is foundational. That is just like my blood family. But of course, everyone in that record is family. Black Coffee is one of the greatest producers and one of the most popular exports that South Africa has currently, you know, Africa has. He's touring all around the world. I just played a concert with him at the O2 in London, 20,000 sold out concert, and he does those every day, you know. So, and his family is kind of like a big brother to me, and I featured on many of his projects that have collected Grammys and stuff, and so his family. And then, of course, there are all these other people that I mentor, or like Dalisu playing the bass. There's Robin Fassi. There's Munay. There's Tando Zide. There's Keenan. There's a friend of mine, Ayanda, who we've collaborated. Anderskade, we've collaborated for many years. And, of course, Shabaka is a friend of mine that we've collaborated. I play in a lot of his albums, and you know, and there's Luke Mil Perez, who's playing drums, and that's basically the outline. And I'm really thankful for this project, and I'm really excited to return as well to Santa Cruz. The last time I was there, I played Unomkhubulwane, which was my previous Blue Note album. So I'm excited to play new music for that lovely audience, and it's always beautiful to be in that room. And I'm thankful.
I'm so happy that you're coming back, and I'll see you play live. That's very wonderful.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, would you say a little more about the Zulu cosmology and I think especially I was interested to see that there's the concepts of interconnectedness and I think emptiness and this idea that we are all constantly evolving. We never arrive at a final point, and that
Right.
we
So,
empty. Yeah, and also I just to relate it to improvisation too,
right, of course.
somehow it does relate to that.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about is part of a book that I'm writing, related, of course, to my work as a musician. But the book is called An Ongoing Rehearsal in Dusonicities. And it talks about the notion of a rehearsal as a metaphor that we could use for societies to imagine ourselves as being inside of a rehearsal. So there are conventional norms of how a rehearsal is. One would be people get together to go through particular music materials towards some kind of mastery and to prepare for a much more grand moment, such as a concert. And my idea in this book is that a rehearsal is not only about getting to the grand moment, although I, with my band, spend time rehearsing material, trying to fine-tune mastery. The result or the expectation is different. So for us, it's not building towards the concert. It is so that the concert becomes another rehearsal, and then there's this recurring rehearsal state. And if anything, so if we're rehearsing for, like we are rehearsing for this tour, it is to rehearse this material to mastery so much that we start emptying ourselves of it so that we don't do it in the concert. So we're rehearsing towards emptying, but it's also the ways in which I'm thinking about study. And in this book in particular, I'm thinking about study as a modality of emptying and not so much an obsession about possession, which animates itself in violence of the examination and all of that. So those are some of the things. And it comes from Zulu cosmology, of course, where language is very explicit about singing, dancing as kind of emptying, as kind of surrender, as kind of going elsewhere, as kind of leaving behind. So it all really, stems out of those notions.
Thank you very, very much. It's really a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm really happy that you're coming back to Santa Cruz. Thank you very much.
Hey, John, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And see you there. See you soon.
Yeah, see you there. I'm excited for your book when it comes out, too.
Cheers, John. Cheers,
Thank you.
man. Thank you. Thank
Bye.
you.
This is John Malkin, and you're listening to Transformation Highway on KSQD Santa Cruz, K-Squid, broadcasting across the Monterey Bay at 90.7, 89.7, and 89.5 FM, and online at ksqd.org. You've been listening to an interview with Nduduzo Makatini, South African pianist, improviser, healer, and musicologist. You've also heard some of the tunes from his new album on Blue Note Records titled The Myth We Choose, which was released on June 26, 2026. This music is grounded in Zulu cosmology and indigenous African technologies, exploring the interconnectedness between all things, as well as themes like forgiveness, the end of the world, healing, and the ways that stories or myths create cultures. Makatini is also currently writing a book called An Ongoing Rehearsal. If you want to experience his music in person, Nduduzo Makatini is returning with his jazz trio to Kumbwa Jazz Center in downtown Santa Cruz on Thursday, September 10th, 2026.
So look away.